Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday to you here. It is Sports Daily, Jacob Albrecht. In for Tommy, rocking Rick Regan in this morning. Tommy will be out a couple of days. We'll have Rick in joining in the fun here on Sports Daily today and tomorrow. Glad to be here with you on this Monday. Glad to be here with you after a very nice sports weekend, especially with what we're paying the most attention to here lately is the Royals. And hey, maybe they're back now after that little stretch of bad baseball in June. They finished the month with a bang. We'll get into it as we make our way through. We've got that. All kinds of little things to get to today. We'll get into some rule changes to the Home Run Derby, perhaps. The NBA free agency is underway, and it's off kind of with a bang. They're moving pretty quick with some just massive contracts. Always surprises us a little bit, but it shouldn't when we see the amount of dollars flying around in the NBA. So we can get into some of those headlines. Rick has a good question on sons of superstars and who might have the best road of some of the really young ones we don't know a lot about yet. We can get into that a little later in the program as well. All kinds of good stuff for you. Rick, how are you this morning?
Fantastic. Beautiful day today. I'm excited to be here and I'm ready to talk about all the stuff that happened this weekend. Lots of drama out there this weekend.
Yeah, always. Always. We got it. We got a giveaway for you. We'll give away some HTO. We'll give away some free iced tea and free coffee a little bit later in the program. That's there for you. All kinds of things to get to. We'll tell you about a big Red, White, and Boom event happening a little bit later. It's all on the plate for us. 869-1240 is that IHOP hotline. Jad Chambers manning that for us. If you want to give us a call, you can. You can also leave us your comments on our video stream on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. Coming soon with the video stream, we are working this week to iron out some kinks. Rick, you will be able to watch that video stream simulcast on 12 News Plus, which is going to be really cool for us here. Of course, I'm also an employee there at 12 News at KWCH. So what will happen is we will take this feed that you've been able to find on all the social channels, and it will now also go out over 12 News Plus, which is a digital platform there on 12 News. So we're really looking forward to that. We're working out those things, doing a little tidying up and rebranding. That partnership's going to be a lot of fun. We'll get more into that later in the week. It is a holiday week. It's 4th of July week. 4th of July, Rick, on a Thursday is probably just about right. I mean, I think Friday would be ideal because now everybody has to sort of go back to work on Friday for the most part. We will be not be here Thursday, but we'll be Friday. But Thursday, 4th of July, I would say of all the days of the week, that's probably a third best, right? You'd like it on a Friday, I think, the most, then a Monday probably, and then a Thursday. I don't want it on a weekend day because you don't want to waste the holiday that way. You want to get the extra day off of work. But a Thursday is pretty good. I'm looking forward to the 4th.
I always find a way to cram in that extra day regardless of what day of the week it happens to fall on. That's it's America, and America deserves it. So even if the 4th of July falls on a Tuesday, I'd like to take the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, make it a long week. It's America.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It is America. Ready to celebrate it.
We're going to blow some stuff up.
We'll have hot dog eating and an all-star break and all of these things, although the hot dog eating is not going to feature the hot dog champion, which is a problem. But, maybe we talk about that later in the week as we see how that thing goes. Rick, it's the Royals will be a large part of what we do today for sure. It's a day off. It's a great day of rest and evaluation as they come off of a Guardian series where they take 3 of 4. We talked last week, and I said, based on the way everything's going and the way they're playing, you kind of feel like you just need to get out of there and split that and not lose any ground. They gain a little bit of ground by taking 3 of 4. There was a moment where you thought they might take 4 of 4 because they took the first two, and then it was like, all right, and then you got Reagans and Lugo, let's go at home. They don't get it done on Saturday, but they bounced back nicely yesterday. And that felt more like peak Royals, certainly, than the way they had been playing in June. That felt more like May Royals, swaggy, right? The offense grooving a little bit, clutch hits and good pitching, and that's what has propelled them to this. They didn't gain a ton of ground in the division. They're still 7 games back there, but they positioned themselves quite a bit better in the wild card, now gaining a little ground on Boston. As we look at the wild card, I can tell you right now, Houston is going to be the team that disrupts this. They've won 9 out of their last 10. The Astros appear to be back, and they're coming. The Rays have won 7 of their last 10, Rick. So you've got two stalwarts there that are always in it, that are coming on strong. And I bring up the Rays because that's who the Royals play next. But you've got some major talent rosters starting to find their groove a little bit. Texas was getting there, and then they stumbled a little bit. I know they looked good last night, but you're going to have some of these really good teams playing themselves into it. Remember, we're just barely halfway there. So these things that we've seen in the first half, some of the way, there's going to be an evening of things. So, sure. And this is what we've talked about.
Sure. Well,
now you're going to look at this. Kansas City's in a playoff race, Rick, against, 7-8 teams, realistically, 7-8 teams, because Minnesota's not going anywhere, Cleveland's not going anywhere, Baltimore's not going anywhere, the Yankees aren't going anywhere, Kansas City, I don't think, is going anywhere. And now you've also got to deal with Tampa, you got to deal with Houston, probably Boston, Seattle, if not Houston's going to be in there, maybe. It's going to get messy, and the Royals are going to have to just, they're just going to have to keep the foot on the gas if they want to get through it.
Well, I think with the Royals this year, baseball, Jacob, is always math, right? It's always about the math. And it's tight for the Royals now. They don't completely control their own destiny anymore. I mean, they do to get into a wild card, but they're out of a lot of races. Everybody else can just win and kind of shove the Royals, keep them back at bay. So, you know, they need help to win, I think. They've got a 1-in-5 chance at a wild card right now. It's no lock by any stretch. I mean, again, it's math. I want to say I read on, playoff status, one of those websites, they're like a 45% chance of still getting in the playoffs. But the Royals are looking good. They looked great over the weekend. They could have won 4. I think that umpire call, it didn't cost them the game on that home run, but it certainly swayed the momentum. Sure. All of a sudden, they were just standing there holding it in their hand instead of throwing it across the room. So, but the Royals look good still. They're coming back around. I mean, look at Lugo. Incredible game over the weekend.
I mean, he's one of the Cy Young guys right now. He's leading the league. I mean, I thought Lugo was going to be – I loved the Lugo signing. If you listen to the show, we loved the Lugo signing. Nobody thought it was going to go this good. I mean, he might win a Cy Young.
He's the ace now, right? I mean, hasn't he kind of passed Reagan? The guy.
Well, Reagan still has that ace upside. Lugo, though, I think clearly is the guy that you trust to just not let you down. Reagan's is still a young pitcher learning how to be a big league pitcher. His upside is tremendous, but Lugo's just found this groove that makes it incredible. So if you look at it, you mentioned projections. So CBS Sports has its own little, you know, analytics projecting whatever. And right now, the Royals, it gives, and this is sort of what we're talking about, it gives the Royals only a 13% chance to make the postseason. 13% right now. They are 8 games over .500. They are pacing, I think, still right around 90 wins. So this thing, I think they call it sports line, only projects them to win 79 games. So only 32 more wins, which would mean they play well under .500 baseball the rest of the way. So, I mean, I don't agree with that at all. But it does, I think, weigh in. Like, for instance, it gives Houston a 75% chance to make the playoffs, right? And you look around in Minnesota, 85. Well, the Royals are just a game back of Minnesota. So it's baking in that the Royals are going to fall. They're basically not going to be able to keep it up. I don't agree with that like at all, because I think their pitching is too good. I think if their starting rotation stays healthy, it will be difficult for them not to stay in it. I think they clearly need moves, and we'll get into that throughout the program. I think they clearly need a little bit of help. And this is a team, when you have pitching like that, Rick, it's a team that's built to be in it. I don't know that there are any teams outside of maybe Seattle and the American League that can run out as quality as 1 through 5, right? That the Royals have been able to run out there, and that's why they're in this.
And the Mariners.
Anything else?
And speaking of, I mean, you know, they're faltering a little bit. They are. They're dragging a little. If I'm remembering right, it's a lot. It's a lot to remember.
Well,
but those guys at that position is a great place for a team to falter to allow the Royals to move up. That's one of those roadblock teams there.
The problem is Houston. So Seattle has only won 3 of their last 10. Seattle is faltering. Now, I like Seattle still. I think that they've got too much pitching, kind of in that they've really been let down by their offense, just in the worst way. But Houston's coming. So it doesn't matter quite as much with Seattle. I mean, the Royals still want to, but the Royals and Seattle have the exact same record. So you still want to be better than Seattle. But the reality is, they're going to end up being a wild card team because Houston's coming for them. Houston's going to end up ahead in that division right now. Texas may run out of time by the time they can get healthy. They've been dropping like flies this year. I don't know that they're going to be able to get there, but Houston will. And Houston, they're well on their way. And so Seattle, you know, probably when the dust settles, we'll be looking at Seattle, Minnesota, Boston, some combination of Yankees, Baltimore, and Rays as teams that are going to be in there in the end. I think the two that you watch and wait on, perhaps, are Toronto and Texas. Toronto may end up sellers. Texas, I don't think, will sell. So, you know, maybe one other team in there. And you know, there could be a team of that group that, you know, that falters, that falls down. I don't know who that's going to be. there's also a chance that they all kind of cram in there and all sit between 85 and, you know, 88, 90 wins, and you've just got a mess until literally the final day of the season. I think that's entirely possible, too. But the Royals, one way or the other, the Royals, I think, Rick, that the Royals are going to be in this to the end.
I think I think there's a big playoff chase coming with the Royals in it this year. I think things are going to get very exciting for us, Kansas City, you know. I think it plays, if you look at the whole schedule, it really plays out that way. I mean, yes, Royals fans are going to have a lot to chew on for the next couple of months.
Let's take a break. Let's take our first break. Let's look at that schedule, because I have not done that after this Guardian series. I've done all of this stuff to sort of lead into this Guardian series, and then I have sort of stopped looking at the schedule for a little while. So let's take a peek at what they'll have coming up, what they'll have, you know, coming down the home stretch here until the All-Star break, what they have after the All-Star break. We'll get it all set up for you. We want to shout out to Prairie Fire Coffee. Mornings at KFH, staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. Keeps us fueled up and ready to roll for the next 2 hours here on Sports Daily. You'll have a chance to win some HTO later in the program, so stay tuned for that as well. Lots to come here for you on this Monday edition. Don't go away. It's Albrock. It's Rockin' Rick. We'll be right back.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. On your way into work and want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car? With the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can. Just download the app or visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH. Download the Odyssey app today to get started. A great, easy way to listen to KFH is through that app. I was doing that mowing the yard yesterday afternoon. Rick, trying to take advantage of the cooler weather, flipped on the Odyssey app. There was Royals baseball for me. Love taking in a baseball game on the radio. And, of course, we are the home of the Kansas City Royals here. You'll see them and hear them tomorrow as they get back in action. All right, let's look at the Royals, Rick. You brought up the rest of the schedule. We've been sort of taking this schedule in chunks for the Royals, honestly, in trying to figure out, like, what should they do over the next chunk of games. They've got 11 games to go until the All-Star break. That seems like a nice, natural chunk of games to take. They're going to get, though, they're going to get the last 8 of those on the road. So that's been a problem for the Royals. We've talked about it ad nauseum, how bad they've been on the road versus at home. Just to remind you, 30-16 at home. It is only behind Philadelphia in wins at home this year. But on the road, they're just 17-23. And of the contenders that are sort of in the mix, Houston is right there in the American League, but that's as bad as it is for contenders in the American League. They've been, you know, not good on the road, basically. And so here we are. Here we sit with it, and 8 of their next 11 are going to come on the road. For that reason alone, this is another pretty interesting stretch of baseball to look at.
There's math jumping in again. There's math. Baseball,
yeah.
Prognosticators, baseball forecasters always do math. They got a lot of road games. They're not doing good on the road. That's why. So it kind of comes down. They need to start this week. They need to start winning this week on the road. Here comes Tampa,
yeah,
right?
They get Tampa at home, and then they get Colorado on the road to start that 8-game stretch. And so you get today off, and there is another day off, which is good. In fact, they have until the All-Star break, which starts after July 14th. So July 14th is that Sunday, and then you get the All-Star break. So up until that point, they've played a lot of these stretches with no days off. They're going to get 3 days off, basically, over the next 2 weeks. They'll get a day off. They get the day off today. Then they'll get a day off after the Colorado series. And then they'll get a day off after the quick 2-game series against St. Louis before they finish up with what is probably going to be a pretty large series there in Boston right before the All-Star break, because Boston, is, it, we'll call it as surprising as Kansas City this year. Boston being in the mix was also unexpected. So, you know, there was a time where this stretch looked like, oh, this will be a great stretch to pick up some wins. But not so much anymore, right? Tampa's coming on. We mentioned they're one of the hottest teams in baseball, and they're always good. Colorado's not good. Colorado sucks. And so you got to take advantage of playing Colorado. St. Louis is another team that is really heated up. They're now 3 games over .500. They were off to an awful start. They're now 7. They've won 7 out of their last 10. And then Boston, we know about. So this is a stretch where 8 of those come on the road, Rick. You know, you'd like to see them go 5-3. I think when you enter these stretches, you want to see them go 5-3. An 8-game stretch like this. But that might be a big ask here.
You know, looking at their results, do you find, with them right in front of you, that those weeks of the season at the beginning where the Royals were looking so good and so strong, were those all home games? I mean, I know we're looking at 70 games.
Yeah.
Were they really bad at the beginning of the season on the road as well? Or were they doing
question.
All right then? Because, you know, maybe this is just, if it's just a bump, it's a stumble.
No, I mean, they lost 2-3 to Baltimore open. I'm just looking at their road series. They lost 2-3 to the Mets on the road. They lost two times. Yep, they won a road series against the White Sox. They won 2 out of 3. The fourth game was postponed in April. They won a road series against Toronto, who has really struggled against the Angels. They won a road series. But against decent teams, I guess in Tampa was the best. But other than in Tampa, like, they've really struggled against average to good teams on the road. And they haven't been dominant against bad teams consistently. I mean, it certainly got worse in June, but it wasn't really good in April. They didn't play a lot of road games there in May. They got a lot of home games, but it just hasn't been really good at any point this year. So what is interesting, though, is I will say it felt like, didn't it, in the Cleveland series, that this team does feel streaky. I don't think that's going to change. I don't think there's anything other than making some moves at the deadline. I don't think there's anything that's going to change that a whole lot. They're a streaky team because Bobby Witt Jr. is a little bit streaky. Salvador Perez is probably the most consistent, but Vinny Pasquantino's certainly been streaky. When some of your better players offensively are streaky players, I think the team is naturally going to be streaky. So it does feel a little bit like they could be, though, trending into one of those hot streaks as they go on the road here. That will be interesting to see it play out. But what I don't think we can do is say, oh, good, it's Colorado on the road. Like, they've lost series to bad teams on the road this year. So you can't really do that. And then you look at it with St. Louis and Boston, it's actually a pretty tough stretch here. Tampa, like, 3 of the next 4 series they play up until the All-Star break are all playoff contenders, right? Tampa will be, certainly. St. Louis has gotten back there just like Tampa has. And then Boston has been and is. Colorado's the only team you could look at in this 11 games and say, oh, no, they won't be in it in the end. But that's a road series. So this is actually a pretty tough stretch here coming into the All-Star break. And then it eases up quite a bit coming out of the All-Star break. But going into the All-Star break, as they're going to be looking at trade deadlines and doing those things, these next two weeks will be very interesting. And you just hope that they are on one of those streaks and they can ride it through.
You bet. Well, with teams like the Royals, momentum's everything, right?
And I think so.
Bobby Witt Jr.
If we've learned nothing else, this is a streaky team.
And you know, Bobby Witt Jr., he's a momentum kind of guy. He's young. Man, did you see how fast he ran the other? Did anybody notice
he's
that?
He's one of the fastest players in baseball.
But when he ran out that triple,
I know.
I mean, man, how did he get there so fast?
He has some of the best speed in baseball. I mean, he just we think of him for other things in his game because he's going to be a good power hitter and, you know, all that. But his speed is one of his great assets. He is as fast on the bases as any player in baseball. He just is.
And those little things are worth a run, and those little things are what build streaks,
sure,
and those are the little things that the Royals got to hang on, you know? I mean, it's going to take it's going to take the whole team this time around. There's not, you know, we don't have that massive home run hitter guy.
But, well, Salvador Perez gives it to you to some degree. I mean, Perez is your Perez and Witt are fine. Pasquantino is heating up. God, I'd love to see him. I hope that, because I've been a little down on him this year. I hope so badly that he, you know, shuts me and anybody else up and becomes a clear cut everyday big time player on this team, because he's so fun to watch. He's so old school in the way he approaches it that I've always been such a big fan of him. I love his personality and everything. It's just, you're not getting enough production out of that spot. You know, they need some jolt there. And I do think Renfro, we've talked about him, will come around, but then you're usually running, I don't know, you know, at minimum four guys out there that you feel like you could be better than. So we'll see what they do. But this will be a fun stretch of games here. They play again, that series against Tampa starts tomorrow. They do get to stay home. You know, with it being home and finishing with eight on the road, you'd sure like to take two out of three there. But you got to get it done, Rick, without the services of Lugo and Reagans. They will not pitch in that Tampa series. So that's pretty interesting here. You go into this series after the Cleveland series where you got both of those guys. Now you've got to go string a Singer, Waka, Marsh. You don't get either of your co-aces, and you're trying to take two or three from Tampa at home. This is as much a big test for the starting rotation as it is anything else. That should be a pretty fun aspect to this, is trying to win a series against a good team without your co-aces pitching in the series. Just the timing of it, right? And I think the expectation has to be to take two out of three there.
Maybe we got to shuffle that lineup a little bit. Maybe we're going to have to, you know, right-handers and left. Well, maybe not with the pitching, but with, you know, everybody else. You know, to find that base hit, find that guy.
Quintero isn't.
Put those left-handers out there, you know.
Yeah, he might. And I don't know, Tampa's pitching is not this year, I don't think, what it has been in some years, where it's just like lights out top to bottom. It has not been quite as good. But again, they've heated up collectively, and they're just always in it. So we'll keep our eye on that. Royals get going there. We can go back to them. If you want to chat about the Royals, you can on the IHOP hotline. It's open at 869-1240. You can also leave us your comments on it on our video stream, which is available to you on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. Those are available there for you as well. Rick, there are some other things out there that we have got to hit on in our time today. We're on baseball.
Bo, can we talk about Bo?
Bo.
Bo Jackson.
Oh, what happened with him? Okay, so I saw him in the headlines. Is he in a Hall of Fame of some sort that he should have been?
Yeah. So the Royals did a big thing for him on Saturday, threw out the first pitch. He's he's a two-sport all-star.
But didn't they put him in their Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
And that's like the only one he's in. I was pretty shocked, and I'm a little behind on this story because I didn't even realize it. So he's the only guy who's been an all-star in two major sports. Deion Sanders was I thought he was a really good baseball player, but I don't think he ever was an all-star. I think Bo Jackson's still the only guy.
Yeah.
But he's never been in like a Hall of Fame for being a pro, and the Royals finally put him in. I didn't realize he wasn't in already, so good on that. I didn't also realize he wasn't in anything, and that's pretty wild. And I know his career wasn't long, but I've always said this about Hall of Fames. Hall of Fames have to celebrate the greatest players of their time. They just have to. And there isn't a person alive that watched Bo Jackson play anything that didn't think he was one of the great players of his time. Have we ever seen an athlete better than Bo Jackson?
Bo is the man. Well, actually, what is Bo? Was it Be Like Bo? All right, here we go, Jacobs.
Bo Knows.
1989.
Bo Knows.
It's just Bo Be knows. Bo.
Bo Knows
just
baseball.
Do the Bo. Bo yeah. Up is a whole
Bo Knows football. Bo Knows. That was it. But I couldn't believe that when I saw it. So it was wild to me. I just couldn't. When I was behind on this story, I'm like, what is, like, why is everybody freaking out here? And then it took me a minute, and I'm like, wait a minute. The first of any kind Hall of Fame, like there's that was so wild to me, and good for the Royals for doing it, because yeah, you want Bo Jackson. And I guess we're sort of guilty of this too. I am. Because when I think of the great Royals of all time, Bo Jackson doesn't pop into my head. And he totally should. Right, I'm thinking of obviously George Brett and wondering if Bobby Witt Jr. will get there, and Salvador Perez is certainly there, and Zach Greinke is certainly there, and then some of the older guys. But I don't, I always, and it does, and I'm, so I'm not like laying blame for anybody. I do the same thing, but man, we gotta get Bo. We gotta get Bo out in the headlines more often, because he is, well, I'm trying to think and trying to compare, like, when you think of just like that legendary story guy, like when you tell about players that you saw that are just like, you'll drop your jaw. I mean, he's up there with any of them. I mean, Bo Jackson was on top of the sports world. There wasn't anybody with him there for a minute.
He was Michael for a while. I mean, he really was. He's Bo.
I agree. And
plus, he's a very generous. Plus, he is a very, in his private life, he's been a very generous, kind man to a lot of people. Bo Jackson is not just one of these dudes that, you know, goes around on a yacht and he's, you know, he's on below deck. Bo Jackson has done a lot of nice things for people. He's a good man. There's a lot to be said for that.
He had an artificial hip when he was, but he just so, couldn't so stay healthy. But
so amazing just, of a guy, though.
Just wild. The stuff of legends. He is as legendary of like when you tell stories about watching guys play. So good. That's a good point. I hope that the Royals can continue to make him just a massive part of their history as they get ready to move stadiums and do all that stuff. I'm glad they got him in there, because that's a partner. That's something you want to celebrate forever. So good on that. Got any Bo stories, you can tell them to us, 869-1240. All right, let's set up our giveaway here, and then we'll move on to some non-baseball items on the agenda here for the next couple days. So we'll give away some HTO. We'll start that up right now. You can text to win. All you got to do is text the keyword T-E-A, to the short code 20357. You can enter one time per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, that's T-E-A, 20357. You'll get a free iced tea and a free rain coffee from HTO, Wichita East, West, or in Derby. Good luck, everybody. It's Rick and Albrock. We'll be right back.
.75 and 1240 KFH.
KFH and Odyssey invite you to join us at a spectacular Independence Day event. It's Red, White, and Boom. Thursday from 6 to 10, enjoy an electrifying live performance by the Astronauts at Riverfront Stadium. Indulge in a feast from a variety of food trucks stationed out at the Hyatt Lawn, then watch the fireworks show at 9:40. The event proudly presented by Evergy and co-sponsored by Wichita Parks and Recreation, Wichita Parks Foundation, and the Wichita Wind Surge. Welcome back in, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Rockin' Rick Regan. It is Sports Daily. Rick in for Tommy here. Ooh. As we make our way through this Monday on the program. Glad to be here with you. It's a good Monday, Rick. We're talking baseball. Let's stay on baseball, but we'll go, you know, away from the Royals a little bit. The Home Run Derby, a few new rules. We had Gunnar Henderson, which I'm really glad he's in it. All eight play. I like this. Now, in theory, all the rules I got to see him play out. But what I do like is they're going away from the, you know, sort of the bracket head-to-head in the first round. All eight players now will go against each other in the first round, which would have been good for that, you know, crazy year Salvador Perez had in there. They'll have a tie broken by the longest home run. You get 3 minutes or 40 pitches. So it's kind of like the NBA three-point shooting contest. You've got the time or the amount, like they have the baskets of balls, right? You get one timeout, which I think was a good addition in there. And then you get three bonus outs, which would mean after you run out that initial time, you just kind of get three more. You can earn a fourth bonus if they hit one 425 feet or longer in bonus time. So, you know, in theory, you could catch up if you just keep dropping, you know, long home runs basically in bonus time. That's how the first round works, but that needed to happen. What do you think of the first round? Because I like getting away from the head-to-head thing, because you could have the second best hitter in the first round get eliminated because of the head-to-head thing. That doesn't make any sense. This, and for that reason only, this way is better.
Sure. And it's more fun for the fans because you can just root for all the guys. It's not guy against guy. Plus, I think with this new format, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not going to be so much about time. Like, you know, I've got to get it in, got to get him in. It's going to be a little more about the relationship between the pitcher and the hitter. You better throw me 40 nice pitches over the plate, and I'll have time to hit them all. It seemed like last time there was a lot of, in years past, it's been a whole lot of hurry up. And this should make the event a lot better. The top four move on. That's better. Extra bonuses. That's also better. You know, this is like the biggest thing almost of the whole season for MLB. I mean, this is a big, big ratings night, isn't it? I mean, this is big, right?
I think the home run derby, and I don't know the numbers and where it's been, but to me, the home run derby feels as big these days as the game itself. I think that it's probably my favorite thing of all-star festivities. Like, I like it way more than the dunk contest in the NBA or the three-point contest. I was kind of into the Ionescu versus Steph Curry three-point contest. I thought that was really cool. When they did that crossover with the WNBA. But as far as all-star festivity events, I still think the home run derby is the most, I don't know, fun and magical, because you just, like, you get to see these guys.
It's a little more casual. Come on, it's a little more casual. Their kids are out there. Everybody's friendly and high-fiving one another.
But I love that part of it. I think the home run derby.
It's like the three-point game used to be. Right, the three-point shooting.
Yeah,
but you know that's kind of lost its heat, of course, in the NBA. It was great when it started, but the home run derby. Do you ever remember watching the old home run derbies?
Oh yeah, when it was like Ken Griffey Jr. and Rafael Palmeiro, and they were like this. Right. They weren't like an all-star competition, right? They were kind of like an off-season. And it was like a made-for-TV one guy versus one guy. They would run them on ESPN late night.
Sure, it was like the Shell Wonderful World of Golf. You know where it was just.
I saw those as a kid. You know, back in those days when ESPN just had a stranglehold in the sports media world, and so you'd just literally watch anything they'd put on there. And yeah, I do remember them. This has become much better though. Like. There was the year that – you remember when Josh Hamilton was at Yankee Stadium and just was, like, hitting balls out of the stadium? Like, it was just wild. Like, those kinds of stories from home run derbies, it's just built for what it is. It's built for an all-star break when there's literally nothing else going on. And it's a perfect exhibition, and you get your stars for the most part participating in it. That had stopped for a little while. Remember, like there was a point where it was kind of like a little glitch. If you did the home run derby, it kind of messed you up. That has sort of gone away. So I'm glad we get all the stars.
Aaron Judge involved in it. Aaron Judge says he's out. Shohei Ohtani
has done it before.
Yeah, but Shohei Ohtani has not decided yet.
Shohei Ohtani, didn't he done it the last 2 years? Like, it's not like these guys are. It's not like the dunk contest where you don't get anybody, which that doesn't make any sense. You still get star. I mean, Gunnar Henderson is one of the great young stars of the game. Can Bobby Witt Jr. do a home run derby? I mean, I don't know. He's still got to get voted in. And you don't have to be an all star to be in it. But
I always want to see the best guys in the 3-point shooting contest.
Sure.
And I want to see the big home run hitters. I want to see.
I do too.
I want to see Shohei every time. I want to see Judge every time.
One, Shohei Ohtani is trying to rehab and get back to being a pitcher. I've got no issue with him taking it easy. Aaron Judge has been on a tear and done the derbies and done all this stuff. If he wants to take a break and enjoy a little more of a break in a season, like, I'm not going to fault those guys. They've done this a million times. So that was the first time. In the semifinals, it'll go down to four. So they'll still take it from 8-4. And then they're going to seed them based on what they did in the first round. And then they go back to the head-to-head, which I don't like that. I don't know why they can't just keep it in the same format. And then you take the next best two. but I do think it should probably factor in what they did in the – I guess I'm 50-50. Do you want this to be a stamina contest or not? Because then you could reset it in the semis, and then the finals are obviously head-to-head. That one gets a little simpler. I don't know. I think it's fine. I do the big thing is they take away the bracket thing of the first round. That's what needed to happen, and we're going to get that. And so that makes it far more fair, I think, than it was.
Well, sure, the matchups made a lot of decisions, you know, for the event. I mean, so letting everybody compete at the beginning is way better, I think.
Yeah, it'll be much better that way. So anyway, they changed it. If you missed it, if you missed the news of them changing it, that's out there, so you can check that out.
So you're a baseball man, so you love All-Star Weekend. You can't wait, right?
I do. I don't watch the game quite the way I used to when I would lock in for the entire game. But you know, like outside of the NFL, I don't. that's pretty wide ranging for me. But no, there was for a long time in my life, I watched every second of the All-Star. It's still by far my favorite of the All-Star things. I will tune into it. I will have it on. But I'm kind of in and out of it. But the Home Run Derby to me has become a better viewing experience. The one thing I will say about the All-Star game, they've done a great job of miking guys up out there on the field, yeah. Miking pitchers up while they're pitching. I mean, that kind of stuff, they have done a good job.
It's so fun, isn't it? It's worth
watching. If you haven't seen them do that, where they mic up a pitcher while he's pitching, it is awesome to hear them talk through what they're doing, and they can kind of tell you what they're about to throw. That part of it has gotten really cool. They have done a really nice job. And look, I've said this too. Baseball has the advantage over the other sports. You can play baseball at 100% maximum effort and risk nothing. Like, people get angry that in football, in the Pro Bowl, and in the NBA, maybe guys aren't quite as locked in. I get it, man. It's an exhibition game. They don't want to get hurt. In baseball, like, you can go full strength and it doesn't do anything. Like, there's not really a way to take it off. So I think that's always made baseball better. I think for whatever reason, baseball has always cared more about it, your winner. Now, they don't tie World Series stuff to it. That was a disaster. But, you know, but in general, like, these teams still want to win.
Sure. And like you mentioned,
the players want to win them.
But miking guys up, you know, baseball is more personal, I think. You know, I mean, in modern sport, we know more about players than we ever have in any time in history. You can find out what a guy had for dinner last night, any guy, and know about his family and where he went to school and everything. And the fact that now you can hear him talking like this is a real guy makes sports beautiful.
The changes are there. We both like the All-Star festivities. We'll see if the Royals are well represented in the All-Star game. I think that happens this week, doesn't it?
Vote, fans, vote.
Yeah, I think we get the votes and everything this week. All right, we'll come back in the second hour. We'll move off baseball a little bit for you. We will get into this NBA free agency that's off with a bang. We'll set up Rick's question on superstar players and their kids and which is the most likely to get close to their dads. Now, In baseball and in football, we've already seen a lot of these. So, like, Bobby Witt Jr., that's not fair. We know he's going to be a superstar. Like, we already know that about him. But there's a handful that Rick has identified who haven't reached that point or had the opportunity yet. So we'll get into that in the second hour. We'll take you through this wild and crazy NBA free agency as well and browse around some of the other sports headlines. Hour number two of Sports Daily coming your way right after this.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
And welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two, baseball coverage on KFH, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator. to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two. Rick Regan in for Tommy today here on the program. We talked a lot of baseball there in that first hour. That's all available for you. If you missed any of it, you can go back and watch it on our video stream, which you'll find right now. You'll find it on X. You'll find it on YouTube. You'll find it on Facebook. You can also go back and listen to that at KFHRadio.com or the Odyssey app. So we podcast out the program there, Jad does. And so you can get that every day. The other cool thing with the video stream that's coming next week, we should be starting Monday. If all goes according to plan, we will start simulcasting the video stream on 12 News Plus, which we're very excited about. We're very excited about that partnership. One of my other day jobs over there at 12 News should be a lot of fun. We're trying to get in and lock in a lot of great guests for that week and do some cool stuff. So we'll have more details as we make our way through this week, but we're really looking forward to that and, you know, growing the show a little bit, widening our audience a little bit. Should be a lot of fun. Again, all the baseball talk there in the first hour. We can go back to the Royals before the end of the program, probably here. And then don't forget, we have a text to win contest right now going for HTO. You can get a free iced tea and a free coffee from HTO, Free Rain Coffee, more than 20 flavors of the tea. Just text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. All right, Rick, you sent me this yesterday, and it has me interested. I think I have an answer, but maybe I don't have an answer. Now, you and Tommy are much greater followers of golf. I'm a very recreational follower of golf. A couple of the names you'll list here have to do with golf, and then one is very much in the news now because he was just drafted into the NBA. But sure. You've got this scenario. I'll let you set this up for us as we've got this next generation of athletes coming up. A lot of star players now are the kids of former players, but we don't know about some of these names you're going to list off. So, for example, Bobby Witt Jr., we know he's great. Fernando Tatis Jr., we know he's great. Patrick Sertan Jr., we already know those guys are great. These names you've got, we don't know anything about yet.
Well, you know, the trick is son of a goat. Son of the goat, Romeo Beckham, David Beckham's kid, plays in Florida, plays in the Premier League. Scottie Pippen Jr. Scottie Pippen, no goat, but pretty darn good, plays for the Grizzlies. Dwayne Wade's kid plays. John Daly II, John Daly's kid plays. He didn't make the cut, but he was in his first tournament last weekend. I ask about the son of the goat, Charlie Woods. Bronny James. Charlie Woods' net worth is $25 million. Bronny James' net worth is $10 million. He made over $5 million in NIL money last year. Can you imagine that? I mean, this is just out of high school kid that Charlie Woods
so
isn't even.
I think.
So who has a bigger upside?
Think the answer is Charlie Woods. I think. Right, because isn't he, and you guys know this better than I do, but isn't he already, like, really awesome at golf? Like, we already know he's pretty awesome at golf.
You know, yeah, he's really good. You know, he's really, really good.
I've seen John Daly's kid, and he looks the part. I have not seen him play golf.
Think of it like this.
It's hard.
NBA, 30 teams, 300 guys.
Yeah. Right.
PGA, 150 guys, couple hundred guys. You know, one's a team sport, one's an individual sport. Obviously, big differences there. But I don't know if Bronny James, Charlie Woods, what does the world think? You know, what do people listening think? I mean,
nobody's going to give the nod to Bronny here because we saw a season that was very strange based on a medical condition of college. I would say he's not getting enough credit for the possibility of being a good, we'll call it a good NBA player. He's not going to be anything close to his dad, but we knew that already. He's not the same kind of physical specimen his dad is. But I do think just based on what kind of high school player he became and what kind of college prospect he became before the, you know, the heart condition, I think we would have a very different answer to this question. And I just think it's a little strange to totally write off the possibility that he's going to be a decent to good NBA player because of this limited window we got to see in college. He, based on everything you hear from the NBA combine, the draft combine, he was one of the more impressive players there. We know his pedigree, and we know what sort of college prospect he turned into by the end of it. He was like a top 50 recruit. And those kinds of guys blow up in the league all the time.
Yes, they
so
do.
So I just think with his pedigree, with the genetic lottery that you know is there already, that, I mean, it's a decent chance he's got staying power in the NBA. It's why I thought the Lakers were really smart for doing what they did on a bunch of different levels. And I'm going to ask you about that here in a second.
Okay, let me ask you this. So you've mentioned genetics. Is it that? Or is it the head? Is it the brain? Is it the psychological part? What's the advantage to being
genetics.
Tiger Woods' genetics. Son? You think it's more that, or it's more Tiger Woods can tell
well,
you how to teach
little,
you how to play the game?
Golf might be a little different.
Ronnie James learns how to play from his dad, who's played since high school.
In the NBA, there is a much larger physical genetic component to it than golf.
Sure, you got to be six something huge, but
right in golf, John Daly can be successful and not take care of himself at all physically.
Most golfers
don't do that anymore.
Look, John Daly's second looks like his dad. Swings like his dad. You've seen Charlie Woods in videos. He swings just like Tiger Woods. I can't swing like Tiger Woods no matter how hard we try. Tiger Woods' kid can because Tiger Woods taught him how.
Yeah. I think there is a larger mental component probably in golf. There are certain physical requirements you must possess to be a pro basketball player. I don't know that it's quite the same in golf. We've seen golfers of all shapes and sizes be successful. You really don't see.
Okay, so you got to be tall, but you don't really. Come on, you don't really have to be tall. There's lots of 6 foot. There's lots of guys the same size as you and me in the NBA. Lots of 6 foot tall guys in the NBA. Yes, it sure helps to be. It's sure
lots.
There's some. There's only five guys on a team. One guy can be 6 foot tall.
Okay, let me ask you this. Could you be 5'9 and be a pro golfer?
Absolutely.
Could you be 5'9 and be an NBA player?
you better be able to jump pretty damn high. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and
okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so a couple
reason,
of inches. I
the
understand.
Reason I say, the reason I say 5'9 is I'm pretty sure that's the average height of an American male.
And obviously you can't be 148 pounds and be in the NFL either. Yes, there are some physical requirements for all of these sports. You know, Bryce James, the next son down, he's 6'6. He's never going to be a Formula One driver. He's never going to cram that big frame into a NASCAR. So,
he could be too big
for other sports. We'll just throw that in there.
We see the other thing is, too, like, and look, players' kids aren't always great, but I don't know that we've ever had as many great player, you know, second generation players as we have right now. There are tons of them.
But GOAT.
Across all sports. Well, GOAT, I mean, you're not going to get...
The question is GOAT, but my original question was GOATs.
So then you only can really have two players in there anyway. Because the only two that, you know, Tiger Woods can have a claim at GOAT, and LeBron James, you know, has a claim at GOAT. It's not a foregone conclusion, but you can make the case.
I wouldn't, but...
Of those two... How do you feel about this, too, by the way? Because I think a lot of what we're talking about here is why it was fine for the Lakers. There's been a lot of nepotism talk with Bronny James, and I just laugh at that. And I'm like, now's the time you want to point out nepotism in sports?
Oh, who you know makes a difference? No.
Right. I mean, come on. Like, owners give their teams to their kids, and front office executives are generational like that. We are broadcasters. There are people who do what we do for a living, where nepotism is just everywhere. And I'm like, Like, so what? So what? If the Lakers think it's a better business decision to draft LeBron James's kid, is that nepotism or is it being smart? If LeBron James wants to play for the team more because his kid's there, like what are we talking about here? Nepotism. Rick, we all want to pass our business down to our kids, don't we? Like that's sort of like you can get as mad at that. Like what are you going to do to stop that? Like make people sell their companies? Like what the hell are we talking about?
Worse than that, we all wish we had a hand up guy. Come on.
Our politicians are all, you know, generation. Like, we've been doing this forever. Like, now we're just going to pick LeBron James as this nepotism thing. Like, why? What are we even talking about here? Like, why is this the line in the sand everybody's going to draw in regards to nepotism? Who cares? Right?
When,
like,
when
if
you
you're
talk about,
care about that.
Well, when you go with LeBron, you know. He's looking there's talk about him trying to get Klay Thompson or other guys to join the Lakers. He's looking at taking a huge, huge pay cut.
Yeah, yeah.
$20 million to play with his kid.
Now all the haters that just thought that was such a dumb waste of time, it's like, guys, now not only is LeBron going to come back to play with his kid, there's no doubt about that. That was the way you could solidify that by making that draft pick. Didn't cost you anything in reality. It was pick 55 out of, 62? So you have that. I would say it also greatly increases your chances of getting LeBron to play maybe two more years. And now what if, all of a sudden now LeBron's like, you know what? Let's get Klay in here. I'm going to take a pay cut. You think he's doing any of this if they don't go draft Bron? It was a very smart decision. It was a smart basketball decision by the Lakers. It was a smart business decision by the Lakers. Why would they not? It's not nepotism. It was a smart thing to do.
Now, can Bronny be as good, potentially, as Charlie Woods?
As his dad?
And his dad, yes, both. Yeah.
No, Bronny's not going to be as good as his dad. I'll tell you that right now. Could Charlie... I'll say this. Who is more likely to match their father's level of success? It's going to be Charlie Woods because there is no chance Bronny James matches his father's. Like, zero... Absolute zero chance that Bronny James is as good as his dad. Like, no, not even on the radar. Now, that doesn't mean he can't be a good player, but he's not going to be that player. Charlie Woods,
never is going to be as good as his dad. Never.
I mean, there's a physical component. If Charlie Woods develops into a great golfer, I mean, his dad broke down physically. Could he if he stays healthy and played for 30 years for, I mean, could he get to 10 majors or, you know, whatever? Maybe. We got to see him play. How old is he? He's not. Is he even
15, 16,
yet?
17? The trick to me now, where is motivation? It's motivation. Come on. I mean, LeBron James wanted to take on the world. Jordan, the world.
Charlie Woods is 15.
Tiger Woods.
And qualified for a USGA event.
Yeah, there's already a 15-year-old guy that made the PGA this year. That qualified for an event. I'm not down in Charlie Woods. I'm just saying, Tiger Woods.
To answer your question, which one is more likely?
There you go.
To get to the status of their father, I don't think it's close. I think it'd be Charlie Woods.
All right, there you go.
Because I would say there is just zero chance for Bronny. Zero. I mean, Bronny. Think about where LeBron was at Bronny's age. LeBron, he stepped into the league as one of the best players, right? Bronny was trying to figure out if he can be good enough to make a roster. So just think about that when they were both 18, 19 years old. Like, zero chance. There's no chance. Charlie Woods, like, we'll see how he develops as a golfer over the next 4 years. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it's more likely to happen than Bronny James just because there's zero chance on Bronny James for something like that. No chance.
One way or another, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch these two young guys.
Yeah, I love it either way. Yeah, putting them up to the status of their dads is ridiculous anyway. But then you do look back and, you know, when we have some of these great second generation guys right now, Patrick Mahomes, picked a different sport than his dad, certainly. But Bobby Witt Jr. comes to mind. Bobby Witt Jr. will be better than his dad, and his dad was pretty dang good. Fernando Tatis Jr., better than his dad. His dad was pretty good. There are Vladimir Guerrero Jr. will be a great case study.
The
because
Rock.
He's an all-star caliber player, and Vladdy Sr. is a Hall of Famer when the time comes. So
how about
it's like,
The Rock?
Okay. Right, but you don't have – I mean, he was University of Miami.
Well, no, I'm just saying as a wrestler, his dad was a wrestler. If you want to talk about, we can stretch sports a little bit. And
you want to talk about nepotism? There's lots of nepotism in pro wrestling, but yeah.
Lots of great nepotism.
Yeah, in a good way. They use it. Whatever. We've gone a couple of different directions here. But the nepotism thing, like what are we doing with the – like who cares? Well, there is nepotism everywhere. And if you have kids, you want the best for your kids. Like
if you don't like nepotism, are you just jealous?
But you don't have one? Well, you are. Of course we are. Of course we are. But Rick, like how do you even stop that? Like what are we gonna do with society? And we're not talking about like kings inheriting kingdoms. Like
we're talking about
business here. Like where do you even draw that line? Hey, sorry, Clark Hunt, you can't pass the Chiefs down a generation. Sorry, Bob's Roofing Company. You can't give that company to your kid. You just have to sell it, I guess, whenever you're done. Like, what a weird line to go into. And people can lecture me about that all you want. I haven't had no nepotism for me in my life. I'm not trying to protect anything. But my goodness, like, what do you think you're going to do here? By saying the Lakers can't draft Bronny James because it'd be nepotism. A, they can do whatever the hell they want. And B, it's the smart thing to do. I don't know. I thought that got a little ridiculous over the last few days. 869-1240, you can chime in on the IHOP hotline. You can leave us your comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Coming soon, simulcast to 12 News Plus. Excited about that. Let's take a break. Lots to get to today. NBA free agency. It's been eventful.
Money.
And it's sort of, it's not even about as much about that. I don't even care about as much about that as I do. Are any of these teams handing out mega deals? Like, we're all chasing the Celtics, right? Are any of these moves needle movers enough that it could elevate somebody?
I think so.
The Celtics. I think it could be, too. I'm with you, which is a little surprising. Right now, the most active is certainly the 76ers. Oklahoma City makes a big deal, more regionally relevant. But we'll get into all of it as we make our way through this Monday edition. It's all Brockton Regan. It's Sports Daily. Chad Chambers producing. We'll be right back.
KFH.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We're glad to be with you. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Give Crestview a call. They'll show you around the facility. They got a big 4th of July party coming up this week. They'll put on a big fireworks show. It's one of their big events of the year. But tell them we sent you over there. Check out. You can have the social memberships, the golf if you want it. Rick and I are both out there. I've been trying to play a little more golf here, Rick. I'll tell you, though, if I tried to play golf right now, I couldn't. So we had a great party this weekend. There's every year some of our friends put on like a grown-up pool party. And inevitably, for the guys, it's just like 9 hours of, beer and pool volleyball. But as we get older, that pool volleyball, like today, I wake up now 2 days clear, and I'm just, I couldn't swing a golf club today, Rick, if I wanted to.
Yes, I'm a little more senior. We go to the pool parties where the guys' kids bring their girlfriends and wives, and then it's much better of a party as we can just sit there and watch other people swim and play volleyball and still enjoy the beer and relax and be much better for it. My heart feels much better after watching younger folks have the fun that you used to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really.
All right. So let's look at NBA free agency here, and we go into the opening salvo. And so the Knicks sort of made the first big play bringing in Bridges. They traded a ton of picks for him, but they're sort of trying to load up here. They did lose a player, and I don't know much about Hartenstein, who the Thunder just brought over, but it's a relatively, you know, I'm seeing Nick fans react to it this morning, and they'll miss him, so maybe that helps the Thunder. I don't think we're going to put the Thunder quite into the conversation yet, but so far the Knicks and the 76ers have certainly been the most aggressive. The 76ers go and bring over Paul George. They get their players all basically re-signed. They're sort of going for a big three with Maxey and Embiid. And then you have the Knicks, who are sort of a young up-and-comer. So if we're looking just in the East there, with the Celtics doing what they just did, having the type of season they just had, which was pretty dominant start to finish, do we think of the Celtics as uncatchable for the East? Because I would say, I feel like the 76ers and the Knicks have both just given themselves a pretty decent chance in the next couple of years to run them down. I don't know if they will, but I think it'll be competitive in the East.
The East is awesome. Look at all the teams.
Well, it's getting better. The West is better. The West is better, but the East is getting better at the top anyway.
Very competitive teams. Very competitive teams.
I think so.
The 76ers? I mean,
If Embiid stays healthy,
they got Andre Drummond,
George Embiid, and Max.
Right, they got Andre Drummond now, right? Isn't that right? I'm pretty sure. Yeah. They just signed Kelly Oubre Jr. for another couple of years. Paul George,
fans.
Joel Embiid. I still call him Joel. Do you call him Joel or Joel?
Joel. That's what his name is.
But I hate when I hear people call him Joel. But I'm telling you, the Sixers, I think they have a great team. They really do. I think the East is going to be so very, very competitive, just like the West. But the East is going to have this, I don't know, I guess I see a lot of parity, and as a basketball fan, I like that. I like that every game is tough.
Look, the West has been better. The West has been more competitive. You just had this. But I do think these moves, and the problem for a team like the Sixers is you've got health concerns about a couple of the players. The Knicks are younger. The Knicks were the upstarts. I'm curious about the Knicks. I hope that the Knicks are very real. And then you see out West, you see Golden State continuing to sort of slowly break it down. It looks like Klay Thompson will go on somewhere else, and that's fine. Oklahoma City makes a small addition. New Orleans made a big addition in Murray in a trade with Atlanta.
Well, Hartenstein's a huge guy.
I know. And look, Oklahoma City, to be fair, they don't need really like headline. They just need some experience and some beef. Oklahoma City is banking more on continuing to develop their young players, but they'll be better. Dallas will probably do something to make themselves at least as good, if not a little bit better. Denver, I would suspect, bounces back. Milwaukee, I would suspect, bounces back. We're not even, you know, what does Phoenix do now with Durant? Do they have any legs in life left? There's just a lot in the West to mix it up. The Lakers are probably going to get Klay Thompson. Which I would think in a small scale would make them a little bit better. Is it enough better? I don't know. But the West is so jumbled, and I think there's overall more talent in the West. But I'm glad that you're seeing a couple of teams at least in the East load up. And maybe Indiana gets a little bit better with their young players too. But it is a good start to – I think it's an interesting start to free agency.
Paul George is 23 points a game.
Paul George is awesome.
And the position he plays and how he plays. I mean, you know, come on, he's a two-way guy that's going to help the Sixers on defense. I mean, he truly is. He plays defense. And that's big. You get a Kelly Oubre Jr., Drummond, Joel. I think they have, if he can stay healthy, but I think the Philly's got a good team. I can like the Phillies.
I do too. I like Philly. All right. So
what crazes me about NBA, just real quick before we run away, is the money. It's really amazing.
Yeah, but you got to
remember,
we just have to remember, like, salaries and everything are going up across all sports, and the NBA just had to pay fewer players. So you've got, you know, think about this with baseball, and everyone's like, oh, baseball players make so much money, and they do because they get fully guaranteed contracts, but they play 162 games a year, right? So football, you're playing, you know, at most 20 games a year. So, and there are so many players on a roster, right? Yes, football is the most valuable sport, but they have to pay more players and they play fewer games. Okay, so in baseball, you get 162 games and you have a little bit fewer than, at least at the major league level, than football. But then you get the NBA and they play 80 games. 80, what do they play? 82. And so you have that and the fact that, what are there, 12 to 14 guys on a roster? So you get all that money from a long season. Salary caps go up. You just have, there's just fewer players to pay. I mean, it's always been that way in the NBA.
I get what, that what part. Is, I get that part. But paying a guy $1 million a week seems like a lot of money to me.
Well, of course
there's
it is.
There's 10 guys probably in the NBA that make over $50 right. million bucks a year. Even NFL worth, guys. There's 10 NFL
but
guys.
Just remember, these owners are billionaires. You don't. That doesn't happen by accident. If it wasn't worth it, they wouldn't do it. So it's obviously worth it. It's all got to be relative. I mean, it's all got to be relative. And relative to their sport and the money it generates and all the other different things and the chances a star player, you know, the impact they have on a team, then it makes a whole lot more sense to. And just remember, too, by the way, the Celtics gave Jaylen Brown the max deal and everybody kind of scoffed at that. How'd that work out for them this year? Right? So, yeah, there will be some of these contracts where we're like, yeah, that was a bad contract. There's going to be some that you're like, that was a really, really shrewd move. Maybe it's a move. Maybe it's a move like Paul George. You know, he's a little more advanced in age. But it happens all the time.
Yep.
It happens all the time. And it's off to a good start. I do think it's off to an interesting start. What do you think of Chris Paul to San Antonio? I like that a little bit sneaky. They bring him in with Wimby. Here's the other reason, because they drafted some young players that I think Paul could really help. I thought that was a pretty shrewd move. I think that was a pretty shrewd move for them. San Antonio had been rumored as a potential spot for Trae Young, which is interesting to think about. I don't know. I don't know that I love that idea for San Antonio. I think the way they drafted bringing in a vet like Chris Paul to maybe help Pop, you know, build up some of these young players is
the UConn kid. He's there for the UConn. What's the UConn guy? They drafted the guard from UConn. What's his name? Castle.
I just forgot his name. Is it Castle? Yeah.
Stephon Castle. Come on.
They had another pick. They had another pick that I really liked. They traded Dillingham. I think Dillingham could be all right. But they traded him. Yeah, I love the Castle move. It makes sense. I think we all do. It's hard not to love anything. You know, anything to do with UConn the last couple of years is pretty hard not to, you know, to gravitate to.
And then Wemby.
A little bit.
Come on. Wemby's like Caitlin Clark. Must-watch basketball.
Yeah, I don't know that he's having. By the way, what a weekend for the WNBA and Caitlin Clark.
Isn't that something?
You had Clark Taurasi for the first time, which was pretty cool. And then you saw after the game Taurasi, who'd sort of famously been preparing us all for the hard time Clark's going to get in the WNBA, giving her flowers after the game. You know, not, and I don't mean that literally, figuratively, which was kind of cool to see. And then you have Angel Reese, who, you know, is doing things that no player in the WNBA. I think more double doubles in a row than any player ever in the history.
I can't believe what an Angel Reese fan I'm becoming.
What I love, she's a great player, but I love the dynamic she is bringing into the equation for the drama of it all. She because is. You have to have the drama of it all in order for this Caitlin Clark gift on a silver platter of her popularity, if you're really going to capitalize on that and make it what it can ultimately be, you've got to have all of it, and it's got to be interesting. And right now, with Angel Reese, that makes it more interesting. It could not be going better, I don't think, for the WNBA. I really don't. I think people are genuinely becoming interested
sure.
in the things that are happening. And that is so, so cool to see and good for them. It was a big weekend for them.
Well, with basketball, you know, you can like watching the guys you don't like, if you know what I mean.
I was never
a Michael Jordan fan.
I wasn't either.
Always other guys, but I would watch Michael Jordan. And how I feel about
because
this
it makes it
Reese.
More, it's
I mean, she's fun to watch.
It's just as fun to root against somebody sometimes as it is to root for somebody. And so that give you whatever side of any of this you fall on, it's giving you this. You brought that up as it was a good point.
And I'm not even a rooter in this case. I'm not necessarily rooting for Caitlin Clark to do well or for Angel
Reese.
I'm rooting for the
success of the league.
Yeah,
I'm rooting for the success and the growth of the league.
That girl's good to watch.
It's awesome.
She's good to watch.
I think it's awesome. All right, 869-1240 is the number to call. We're making our way through this Monday edition of Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you, Jacob Albrecht, Rick Regan. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We got lots more to get through, including a massive commitment in the state of Kansas today. Perhaps the biggest name ever, the highest stakes recruiting battle, one of ever. We'll get into that, and it's happening today. We'll tell you all about it when we return on Sports Daily. Daily, Jacob Albrecht, Rick Regan in with you on this Monday. Rick with us today and tomorrow. Always appreciate him hopping on with us. Jad Chambers producing, manning that IHOP hotline. Okay, the Lincoln Cure. How much have you been paying attention to? Do you know about Lincoln Cure, Rick?
He's the tight end kid that's supposed to sign somewhere today, right? Like number three in the country?
So way out in Goodland. He's the top tight end recruit in the country. He is a five-star recruit, the first five-star in the state of Kansas since 2009. You know who the last five-star is? It's 2009. Take a swing. Take a guess at who the last five-star recruit in the state of Kansas was.
Golly. Can't guess. Kicker?
Bryce Brown.
All right, all right.
So it's been a minute. And that just kind of gives you some indication of how rare it is to get a five-star. So, an NFL-caliber player, basically, was the last time. So that you could make a case, and people have, that Lincoln Cure is the top recruit in the history of the state. Number one tight end in the country. And here's what makes this so interesting. A, he's out in Goodland, so you probably it's totally fine if you've missed him. But he's been flying up the recruiting boards, and his teams today – they're down to K-State, KU, Oregon, and A&M. I think most people generally feel like it's going to be between K-State and KU. I think there is a general feel that it's down. I think most people think K-State's the leader in the clubhouse. His brother has signed for KU. We've got our crew over at KWCH. TJ Cleland's headed out to Goodland. He's probably already on his way. He's making that long drive, 4.5 hours out, to catch this recruitment and bring us live coverage later in the day. But this is a fun one. It's a fun one not only because he is such a highly touted recruit. It's fun because it's way out in Goodland. But it's fun because K-State and KU are thought to be the leaders. And I'm going to tell you, to go through that stretch and have both of these teams this relevant in the recruiting, like, it is just so cool to see. I don't know where he's going to go. I would say if I had to take a stab at it and guess, I would also guess K-State. But I think KU's got a great chance here. And look, he could surprise us too with A&M and Oregon. What you've got here is two teams that are as big in the NIL space as any, in A&M and Oregon. You've got two teams that are showing they can get there in NIL space with K-State and KU. K-State, remember, just handed out what NBA reporters, oddly, say is the biggest basketball NIL deal ever. K-State just handed that out for K-State hoops. So I'm not saying big NIL players for A&M Oregon to say they're bigger. I'm just saying that's, you just never know what's going to come into the equation when those two teams are involved. This could be wild one out there in Goodland today. I can't wait to see what he decides.
So you think that's the only factor in his decision process?
Absolutely not. No.
And real quick, I just want to say Bryce Brown, he went to East High. I thought he was a Grizzly. There was who's the Northwest guy that went to the went to the NFL.
Breece Hall's in there now.
There we go.
You mean older than that?
Yeah, that's who I was thinking
of. Yeah, great running backs. Yeah, Wichita athletes, man. Bryce Brown.
10 years ago, and then when this kid is trying to get, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Remember Arthur Brown, then, you know, also the Brown brothers. He also went into the NFL. But as far as high school recruits, Bryce Brown was the last five-star. There aren't very many five-stars every year. Just for people that don't follow that, it's not like you have 35-star athletes, coming through. There just aren't very many. And I'll look this up while we go, just to give you some perspective on how many five-stars there are out there. Let's look at the 2025 class. Right now there are, I said they're not 30. There's actually 32 five-star high school football players in the 2025 class. Lincoln Cure, according to 24/7, is ranked 26th out of those. Most people think it's going to be K-State. He makes his decision today. Should be a lot of fun. Either way, the state of Kansas wins, because you don't get this caliber of player coming out as a high schooler very often. And when they do, you want them to stay in the state of Kansas. And we hope that's what happens today.
How do we feel? Because he's just picking for money. Remember when a kid would want to go
play for money?
You know, how do we know what he's
picking for money?
You don't think he's picking for money now?
I think that's a part of the equation, but I don't think it's the only part of the
equation. If Oregon gives twice as much money, he's not picking that.
You say that like you know.
I don't know. I'm asking you. There was a time when a guy wanted to go play for a coach and play for a team.
Now it's different.
It's
there's just a different factor in there, but it's not the only factor. Style matters. Who the coach is matters. What you want to do, you know, with your education still absolutely matters. And yeah, money matters, right? But that doesn't mean it's the only thing that matters.
I'd like to hear the kids say that. I hope you guys get some time with him today and let him answer that question.
Well, I don't think we're going to put a 17-year-old in a position to
He's in a position to make a couple of million bucks. He ought to be in a position to answer the questions, right?
We can answer questions. It's just, you know, I don't know that there's a full understanding of the way people perceive that. But I'm not saying, and look, K-State or KU may very well offer the most money. I don't know. But it's hard for me to believe, I'll give you an example, that Avery Johnson didn't have opportunities to make more money, you know, in a direct NIL. Now, he could grow into more. And that's a factor in all this, too. Yeah, there's going to be your initial whatever, your initial offer. But if Lincoln Cure, let's say he chooses K-State, the other piece of NIL is actual endorsement deals. You want to talk about, hey, you're talking to Western Kansas for a lot of agriculture ads, and your companies are really trying to do, here's this kid from Goodland, Kansas. You know what I mean? Like, where's that more valuable, in Oregon or in Kansas? And so all that stuff matters. But style and look, if you're this kind of recruit, ultimately your goal is to get to the NFL and make a whole lot of money. And if you're going to do that, where you go, who you're playing for, coach, all that stuff still has to play a massive role in the decisions that you make. I'm just glad, Rick, when we talk about money, that KU and K-State are players and are relevant in the decisions being made by some of the best players in the country, because there was the initial fear when money got into this that there would be other places that would continuously outbid them, and that is just flat not happening. It's not happening for KU hoops. It's not happening for KU football. It's not happening for K-State hoops. It's not happening for K-State football. They've never recruited better than they're recruiting right now.
We're sure lucky right now.
Collectively, they've never recruited as well as they're recruiting right now. So all those fears and worries that people had, and I never subscribed to those fears and worries. I thought this would all make it better for KU and K-State, because what you're going to have is an evening of things. I'm just telling you, and I've always believed this, and I know it's taken time, but through the transfer portal helps to this to some degree too. But like, if you're a star player, and forever those star players went and were like third stringers for Alabama, why on earth would you ever pick that if you're making a decision, right? Why would you ever choose to do that now? Go somewhere where you can play and you can earn on the table, not under the table, right? Through NIL and these other opportunities. And I think we're seeing that. K-State is cleaned up with talent in the state of Kansas. KU is now right there with them through the portal and all these things. You can't tell me that you thought this would go as well as it has for these two schools in football. I mean, you've got two teams that are going to compete for a Big 12 title, that are in an expanded playoff, going to compete to make that playoff for real. Both of these teams are playoff, are legitimate college football national championship playoff contenders. Wrap your head around that for a second. KU and K-State both are.
Crazy and exciting
they ever
for us.
Would have been. Would they ever have been before NIL and transfer portal come into play? Because I don't think they no. I think the answer is no. It's not even a hypothetical question. I think I know the answer, and I think it's no. This has made it better.
Let's get the Royals into the playoffs. We'll be living in the greatest sports place there is. Great football, great baseball, great college football, great college basketball.
Let's not take this for granted what we have at the moment right now.
I'm knocking.
We are in a 12 month of year sports relevancy in this region, and boy, there are a lot of times where it's like 0 months a year. For, you know, how often was it you had K-State football and KU basketball, and that's about it, right? And so now we've got all this, like we got Royals right now. Yeah, where does Lincoln Kier go today? Just don't. I hope he doesn't pick Oregon or A&M. I hope he picks one of the Kansas schools. It's going to be a lot of fun. Congratulations to him. Congratulations to his family. This is such a fun. I still love high school commitments. What a big, fun day that these guys get to have. It's really cool.
I found a great quote from him. He says, "You have to trust that with your heart and trust in God that it is the right decision. If you're getting a really good feeling at one university and not another, that will bring up some questionable things in your decision. So you have to go with that feeling." Of course, he says, "I love Kansas. I love everything about Kansas State. I absolutely love the area, Oregon. I love everything about Texas A&M." So he has some great decisions to make. It looks like he loves every place that wants him. Let's see what happens. Be exciting.
I think I'm with everybody else. I think K-State, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, though, with his brother going to KU and as big as KU's been and as successful, by the way, as KU's been with tight ends. Mason Fairchild, had a great career.
Maybe
so has K-State. Ben Sinnott was just drafted.
Maybe
Ben Sinnott being just drafted and the success he had is the biggest reason for me of why I think Kier will go, is because you've got a chance to be a part of a great offense that just produced an NFL tight end.
He could just be kind to his folks and go to KU.
Are his folks KU people?
They're going to have to go to two different places. Going to be some pretty busy Saturdays for that family.
I think you put yourself in their shoes, Rick, and you're like, just make the best decision that you can make. Don't worry too much about that. And they're like, God, we're going to have two college football players. That's incredible. 869-1240. TJ Cleland will have you all covered on that, by the way, for 12 News. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about it. Be cool. Maybe I'll have TJ give us a buzz. I know he'll be very busy. He's out in Western Kansas doing a bunch of different things, but that'll be today. We'll have it for you tonight on 12 News. Be a lot of fun. Lincoln Kier, first 5-star in 15 years out of the state of Kansas, making his call today, and KU and K-State are both in the mix. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network tonight when we return on Sports Daily.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.